Music is one of those things that really can take us to the mountaintop. It can take us to a place within ourselves and even outside of ourselves. This morning I want to tell you about a CEO of a corporation. This corporation made dog food. And the CEO was very, very unhappy with sales. So he fired the advertising firm and hired another one. And sales didn't do much better. The CEO kept getting more frustrated. Then he fired his entire marketing department. Put a whole new team together of sales team. Sales never improved. Eventually, the CEO called for a company meeting. He wanted to get to the bottom of what was going on. This conversation went everywhere. Marketing, supply outlets, salespeople, displays, on and on the conversation went. And at one point, there seemed to be a break in the steady chatter of voices. And a low-level manager raised his hand and said, "Sir, may I say something?" "What is it?" the CEO snapped. "Well, sir, the dogs don't like it." The room got silent. Someone had named the truth, pointed out the gap between what the product wanted to claim it was and what it was in fact. So much of life is what we want people to see on the outside. We want people to think that we have it together, that we are capable, that we are mature and secure. We work pretty hard at packaging ourselves for one another and for the world. And of course, people are watching us. The world is watching us, evaluating us, making judgments about us. And so we have to come across as if we have it together. We don't want to appear that we're struggling, that we have problems, that we face fears and ambivalences. And we are so often relieved when in life we find someone we know and trust who struggles and has fears just like us. Sometimes, deep in our hearts, we know that our outside lives, the lives we present to the public, don't square with the lives that we live on the inside. And we struggle with that. I struggle with that. Quaker author and activist Parker Palmer refers to the lives we present to the public versus our inner private lives as our onstage life and our backstage life. And there are legitimate reasons for maintaining a public and a private life. I mean, after all, Your neighbor doesn't need to know everything about you. Boundaries are good. Good fences do make good neighbors. However, there are times when our truest, most authentic lives do want to come out. They do want to shine. And we don't bring them forth because we're afraid we'll be judged. So we become afraid. There are times, going back to our childhoods, when we've been betrayed, times when we shared our most honest and authentic selves and we were criticized. We might have been belittled, ostracized, put down. So we learn at a fairly early age to create a wall. A wall to protect ourselves from hurt. And that wall can get thicker as we get older. And eventually, if we're not paying attention, our true selves can get locked behind that wall. Our true selves remain afraid, and they stay hidden where they cannot experience the light. Now, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the top of a high mountain, there was this moment when Jesus just radiated brightness beyond belief, dazzling light. Jesus didn't take those disciples up that mountain to merely dazzle them. Instead, God was showing the disciples just what is possible when the inside of a person matches the outside. The very human Jesus was being transfigured, transformed. The God-like reality that was on the inside of Jesus was now being experienced on the outside. Call it inside out. This moment of pure integration. What those disciples experienced was a God who was abiding completely in Jesus. And by example, God was showing the disciples that they too could be transformed, that they too could bring the inner part of their lives to match their outer life. God transfigured Jesus to reveal Jesus' true identity and his future glory. And God was showing the disciples that even though they were not Christ, that they could become Christ-like. Their inner and outer lives could be brought closer together in Jesus. Now, how could this be done? How could the disciples' inner and outer lives become more integrated, become more whole? Well, it certainly wasn't going to happen by making three booths and memorializing Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. That was Peter's plan. Let's get Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, and build a little show window. This was Peter's plan until a voice from heaven interrupted him and reminded the disciples that Jesus was there to help them connect their inner and their outer lives. And the voice said, "This is my son. Listen to him. Listen to him." Now, the disciples were at this moment full of fear. They were probably freaked out. And in this moment, Jesus touches them and says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of becoming an integrated person. Do not be afraid of becoming whole." As we continue to celebrate Black History Month, we are reminded of one very brave woman who found it increasingly difficult to live an undivided life. Rosa Parks was the woman who on December 1st, 1955, decided to sit down in the front of a bus in a society that had created a wall that she was expected to live behind. Her authentic self was being pushed behind a wall because to live as a free and equal person of color was to invite judgment, condemnation, brutality, or worse. As Parker Palmer compellingly writes about people like Rosa Parks, and I want to quote here, "They decide no longer to act on the outside in a way that contradicts some truth about themselves that they hold on the inside." Now, this coming Wednesday, St. John's United Church of Christ, along with thousands upon thousands of Christian congregations throughout the world, will begin the observance of Lent. Lent is a period of 40 days, not counting Sundays, when we purposely give attention to the gap. The gap between our inner life and our outer life. And we can do that in at least three ways. The first thing is to set aside some time to reflect, to have an honest conversation with ourselves and ask, am I as integrated? Am I as whole? Am I as healthy as I could or should be? Second, we acknowledge our fears. I don't know the exact number of times in the Bible when either Jesus or an angel or some messenger of God says, "Be not afraid." In our prayers, We should tell God what we're afraid of and hand it over. Some people do that through journaling. Some people do that through a conversation with a trusted friend. And thirdly, finally, we listen. We listen. We listen to what Jesus has to say by inviting him to speak into our very souls. Fairest Lord Jesus, speak to our souls. And that is good news. Amen.